You know, dreams, people have dreams. And usually, most of the dreams are not important. Judaism says, don't pay attention to your dreams. There's a joke when somebody comes and he dreams too much, tell him you're sleeping too much. That's why you have so many dreams. Don't sleep so much. But we are now in the parshas of this week, right? In the season of dreams. Joseph had dreams, and then the butler and the baker had dreams. And Pharaoh had a dream. It's all stories of dreams. I want to share with you a story of a dream that changed the course of Jewish history. It was 175 years before the story of Hanukkah. I'm now celebrating Hanukkah. 175 years before Hanukkah. It was a story, it was a meeting between the Greeks and the Jews that ended up very well, actually. It was when Alexander the Great was conquering the world. From the Persian were the superpower, and Alexander the Great was taking over the Persians. Greeks took over the Persians. Then he arrived to Israel, and in Israel was a group that's called the Samaritans. The Samaritans right away pledged loyalty to Alexander the Great, and they asked him permission to build their own temple in Mount Gerizim. It's in the West Bank. And he gave him permission. And they joined his army. And then they sent to the Jews that they want the Jewish people should also join the army. But Josephus tells the story that the high priest in Jerusalem and the leader was Shimon the Great, Shimon the Righteous. Shimon HaTzadik, Simon the Righteous. And he told them that we and our leaders, we swore to the Persian king that we swore loyalty. We cannot break our words. We love you. We welcome you, but we swore loyalty to him. Obviously, he was not too happy. He didn't like the message. He was going towards Jerusalem, and the Samaritans, they were became his buddies. They asked him, give us permission to destroy the temple. These people are against you. These people are trying to kill you. They want to rebel against you. They're on the Persian side. The news came to Jerusalem that Alexander the Great is on the way to Jerusalem. And this is not good news. Then the high priest, Shimon the Righteous, put on the garment of the special uniform of the high priest. It was a very dignified clothing made out of gold, with gold and so on, with his special hat. And he's going out from Jerusalem to greet Alexander the Great. Now, in Jewish law, usually, not allowed, a Kohen, any Kohen, cannot go out with his clothing, with his uniform outside of the temple. The uniform is only for inside the temple. You come in with your regular clothing, you change it to the uniform. Before you leave, you change back and you go home. The high priest, the same, is not allowed to wear this uniform outside of the temple. But Shimon the Righteous had a feeling that he needs to do it for the sake of the Jewish people. He needs to come, he needs to show up with his uniform and his full mighty and splendor and greatness. He and the elder of Jerusalem are traveling on horses or camels or donkeys, whatever it was, or walking. They walked with torches. It was a whole night. They were walking with torches towards to greet Alexander the Great. They are going. Alexander the Great is getting closer to Jerusalem. They are going outside of Jerusalem. Early in the morning, Alexander the Great sees them from far. He turns to his Jewish advisor, to the Samaritans, and he asks them, "What are these people?" He tells them, "This." They tell him, "These are the Jews who are rebelling against you." As the sun shined out, they greeted each other. The sun shined on Shimon the Righteous, the full brightness, and then. Suddenly, Alexander gets off his horse, from his chariot, and he bows down Shimon HaTzadik, to Simon the righteous, is bowing down to the high priest. Alexander the Great, that the whole world was afraid of him, is bowing down to this old rabbi. And his advisor, so he had one advisor who dared to ask him the question, why you bow down to him? You're Alexander the Great. And he told him, every time before I go to war, the night before in my dream, I see this man, and he is the sign that I'm going to win the battle. How can I not bow down to him? In his dreams. Then Alexander turned to Shimon the righteous, and he asked him, Shimon HaTzadik, why you came here? What do you want? And he told him, you want the house that prays for you and for your kingdom? That other people should confuse you, mislead you to destroy it? But he turned and says, the people want to destroy the temple. They pointed at the Samaritans. These are the people who want you to destroy the temple. He says, they're in your hand, doing whatever you want. They did. And they destroyed the Samaritan temple. The Jews did. Then the king came to Jerusalem. He made all the way to Jerusalem. And they made a pact of loyalty. He comes into the temple. And Alexander the Great was asking to make in the temple, they should put in the temple a monument of himself. You know, the king is to put up monuments of themselves everywhere. In the temple, they should know that this is the king. Alexander the Great told them, and Shimon told them, we cannot do this because we cannot have idols in our temple. But instead, I promise you, we'll show our loyalty to you. Every child will be born in this coming year, we'll call him Alexander, every boy. And they lived up to it. That's how Alexander became the king of, it became a Jewish name. Because everybody in the Jewish people called Alexander. The Alexander is a Jewish name, finished.
Yeah.
I remember as a child, I used to wonder, how is Alexander became a Jewish name? I know it's not something from the Bible, not something where it came from. That's the story. Once the rabbi told the story, and he said, what do you learn from it? You know, Shimon HaTzadik went to greet the most powerful man in the world, right? What do you would dress up with a nice tie and a nice suit, look like a man. He didn't try to look like him, like the king. He dressed up with his clothing that you're not allowed to take out of the temple. And only because he dressed up with his Jewish identity clothing, only because of this, Alexander the Great recognized them from his dream. If he would come with regular clothing, he wouldn't recognize them. That's what made him to recognize him from dream. He said, this is the man that because of him, I win the wars. I win every battle. And he bowed down to him and he gave him whatever he wanted. This message that you have to go, you have to be, keep your identity, be proud of your identity. And this was giving you success. We read from the story, we read from the parsha of this week, Joseph, right? The Midrash says something very interesting. Tell me, where was Joseph buried?
He was taken home, I believe. His brothers carried him off. Yeah.
Where was Moses buried?
He was buried in the desert.
By the edge of Israel, before then.
Yeah.
And the Midrash is asking why Joseph was died in Egypt, right? Over 100 years, 160 years, I think, before the Jews left Egypt. I think 160 years, yes. I think so. 210, yeah, 160 years, I think, before they left Egypt, under something like this, 150 years. And they buried him in Egypt. Then before they left Egypt, Moses took his bones, schlepped the bones with him for 40 years in the desert. Moses died in the desert. The bones of Joseph made it to Israel. And Joseph and Moses, who was by the edge of the state of the land of Israel. Okay, he's not allowed to go in as alive, fine. God doesn't want to. But bring his bones at least. Why Joseph yes and Moses not? And the Midrash says an unbelievable observation. When Joseph, when he came to Egypt, how he identified himself?
I don't remember.
He says about himself, the I'm an Hebrew boy, I'm an Hebrew lad. He always said that he's an Hebrew. Everybody knew him, called him the Hebrew. When Potiphar's wife accused him for raping him, you know what she says? Trying to rape him. She says, the Hebrew boy that my husband brought, the servant. When Joseph tells the butler, you go to Pharaoh, tell him that I'm an Hebrew boy, a slave, hostage, I'm a kidnapped from Israel, I don't have anybody, I never did anything wrong. He always says he's an Hebrew boy. He was never shy, never tried to cover up his Jewish identity. He was proud of his land, he was buried in his land. Moses, when Moses came to Midian, he ran away from Egypt, right? He came to Midian, and Jethro's daughters met him. Then they came home, and Jethro asked him, what's news? They said, we found, how did they describe them? Somebody saved us. How did they describe the men that saved them? They described them, an Egyptian man saved us.
That's right. That's right.
An Egyptian man. And Moses heard it and said nothing. An Egyptian man. Stay in Egypt. Stay outside. What does this mean? It's all about your being proud of your Jewish identity. More than 60 years ago, close to 60 years ago, the Rebbe started the whole idea to encourage the idea of putting the big menorahs all over the public square in every city to light big menorahs. Jewish kids should not just see the Christmas trees. They should see menorahs. They should be proud of their own religion. And many Jews didn't like it. Many Jews. Uh-huh. You cannot even imagine how many. In one letter, the Rebbe is explaining to somebody who complained about it. The Rebbe says, history proved. The experience proved. Then putting the menorah in a public place was an inspiration for many, many Jews and brought in them the spirit of identifying themselves with the Jewish people, with the Jewish way of life, and brought them some Jewish pride. And they discovered, they figured out that there is no reason to cover up the Jewish identity. I can tell you, there is kids now in the Sonos schools, how they identified our temple, the temple with the menorah. The menorah is to stand outside a month a year, only 1 month a year. Now we have it, it's in a new place, we have it. It was only for 1 month a year. All the kids and the public, and the bosses from public school knew the temple with the menorah. Not the Jewish kids, the second, every kid. They're not Jewish kids, too. What does this mean? Because you give them something, identity, you give them pride. You know, since the war started, there are many Jews who are trying to cover up the Jewish identity. They're afraid in public. Many, many, in many places in the world, people try to take off the mezuzahs from the front door. Oh, I don't want to go to identify as a Jewish home. Not so much in America, but in Europe a lot. I have for my brothers and my sisters, or Chabad rabbis in Europe, constantly. People come to them, you know, I'm not comfortable. Can I put it inside? I can do it. Then there is people used to wear the necklace chai, or the Star of David. They take this off. Some people wear a cap over the kippah. They're afraid to wear a kippah. And there is even those who change their name on the Uber application. Nobody, the Uber driver should not know that he's Jewish, God forbid. Who knows what he's going to do to me? And first of all, I want to share you a story. I think I told you that. Like a month and a half ago, I went to Germany to my sister's wedding. my daughter, her daughter's maid of her daughter. Then on the way back, I was sitting next to a couple. Started a conversation, a long conversation. Then she tells me that the grandmother is Jewish. Told her, really? Told her, from which side you grandmother? She told me, from my mother's side. Told her, your mother's mother? I told her, yeah. Told her, you know that you're Jewish by Jewish law? She tells me, I don't know that, but you know, interesting enough, many times people told me that I look Jewish. Now, she lives in Amsterdam. In Amsterdam, there is 20,000 Jews. There is 1.5 million citizens. How many Jews she met in her life? Tell me. And how many non-Jews saw a Jew? Still, people told her, you look Jewish. So what I'm saying is, even somebody who is not Jewish, if you just look, it doesn't even know that you're Jewish. If he looks Jewish, he cannot cover up his Jewish identity. Then, my friend, he can take off mezuzahs, he can take off, change the name in the Uber, he can do whatever you want. People will know that you're Jewish. It's something you cannot erase. It doesn't help you. Or the opposite is the truth. When you show your Jewish identity, people respect you. It's actually many times it helps even more. Think about it. If you take a survey between the people that, I think I mentioned it to you, between the most secular Jews and the most religious Jews, who has more anxiety now about his Jewish identity?
Mm-hmm.
More stress, the most religious Jews or the most secular Jews? Most secular Jews. Why? Nobody knows that they're Jewish. What is the reason for their anxiety? I should have anxiety. I should have stress. But then you have a strong Jewish identity, when you have a backbone, when you enjoy your Jewish heritage, when you are happy with what you have, the problems are problems. But that, you know, like, I'll give you an example. You know what the example is? You know, somebody cannot sleep at night because there is a fly. You know, sometimes the flies who bother you in the middle of the night, mm-hmm. zoom you on your ear,
mm-hmm.
and drive you crazy. And you can't sleep. And it drives you crazy. Then somebody walks in. Your brother walks in, your friend walks in, your wife walks in. Does we just won the lottery? And you know how much money? Let's have to make calculations. You jump out of bed and you start to make the calculations. And you're all excited. The fly didn't disappear. It's still zooming in your ear, but for some reason it doesn't matter you anymore. It matters you. You do like this and you move on. Because you're so excited about what you have that the fly is nothing. Only when I do nothing, the fly is a big issue. The moment I know I learn to appreciate and to enjoy my Jewish heritage, yeah, there is anti-Semitism. Yeah. Sure, so. That's what it's all about. Hanukkah is the time to bring Jews together around big menorahs, to show in public, to build up our morale and our Jewish pride. And when we are proud of our Judaism, everybody in the world respects us.